I'd like for you to open your Bibles, if you have it, to the book of John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13. We're going to read verse 34, verse 35, and then we're going to pray. I really appreciate my pastor and this church. As he mentioned, we don't have to come home and itinerate and go from church to church trying to raise our annual support. You guys keep us out there. There's two churches that are founded that are daughter churches of here. One of them is called Abundant Life Managua. And the other one, we put the name of the neighborhood on it so that thinking that the people are hoping that the people of that neighborhood would associate themselves quickly with the church that carries their name of the neighborhood. But you have daughter churches over there, and we consider ourselves an outpost of this congregation. You have an outpost in Nicaragua, and we are thrilled to be your missionaries over there. John 13, 34 and 35, then I'll let you sit down. Jesus is speaking. Maybe you have a red letter Bible. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Let us pray. Father, I thank you for allowing me to stand in this position. I thank you for my pastors that cover my ministry. Father, I thank you for all you've taught and shown me, and thank you in advance for the things I will learn in the future. And I pray that you be with me now, Father. I pray your anointing on me to be able to transmit what you have taught me, important lessons. And Lord, I pray for my family here, my brothers and sisters in this great congregation, this column in Florence. This steadfast base here in Florence, and for all the brothers and sisters that come here to be fed weekly your word and to follow you, bless us now in this time we're opening your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. You can be seated. We've had a great 3 weeks. We have to leave tomorrow to go back, and I've enjoyed my time in the States. We've eaten incredible amounts of food. When I walk now, I can feel a little jiggle on the side over here. I didn't used to have that little jiggle. That's a new experience for me. But as I get older, every time I come to the States, I just irreparable damage. I have more and more jiggle when I go back to Nicaragua to eat rice and beans. I want to talk to you this morning about the love of God poured out on you. Jesus gave us a commandment, says, love one another. He didn't give us a whole list of commandments. He says, I give you a commandment, love one another. And he said, by this all people will know that you're my disciples for your love for one another. Many times when we ask somebody, are you a Christian? They say, yeah, well, my pastor's so-and-so, and I go to this church. But he said that they will know that you're my disciples, not because you go to a certain church or because this particular man is your pastor, but for your love for one another. Don't you answer the same, are you a Christian? Yeah, I go to a certain church. Why don't we answer with all the love that we have for one another? Oh, yes, I love the brothers. I love other Christians. I have lots of brothers and sisters. And this will be the way they'll know that you're my disciple for your love for one another. And I want to talk to you today about the love of God poured out on you. Let me go back a bit to our trip to Kansas. We went to see our son. He was deployed to Kuwait. We got a picture of his battery. This is them in the desert. He's in that column of soldiers there toward the back because he's tall. And he's on my right, next to the last soldier on the right corner. And we were thrilled to see him back. He couldn't wait. He joined the army. And everyone joins the army because they want to serve the country. And then you go through all this training and you sit there on the base, right? He sat there in Kansas, nothing but grass and corn. And he said, I can't wait to do what I'm trained to do and be deployed. And when he went, when he sent him to Kuwait, they slept in tents. They used a latrine. They sent him over to Iraq for 30 days too. And he was started saying, I can't wait to get back to Kansas. And, you know, I hate that I sound militarized this morning, because I've just been another time on a military base. We were there for a few days with him, so I'm probably going to sound military in some of my lingo today. But I see our church also as a base here in Florence. And Jesus, you know, the Bible talks about spiritual warfare. One day I'm going to write a book on that. Right, Miss Inga? We're going to write books. And I see this as a base, and I think sometimes Christians we are on the base so much, you know, but we're trained to do so much more, right? Trained to do so much more, and Pastor Carl and I, Pastor Steve, we're talking about deploying this congregation in 1 year to go to Nicaragua and do a mission, a fire mission. The Bible says we fight the fight of faith, that we don't fight with against flesh and blood, but spiritual. And so we're going to take over there a big love bomb. And what we use in our warfare is love, contrary to that other religion that they use the real bombs to express their faith. We use love. That's what God has commanded us to do. And that's what will distinguish us as his followers. How many of you appreciate that you were born in a country, and what you were taught and what you see around you is being taught to love? Can you give Jesus a hand clap for that? They'll know we're his disciples by our love. The other religion that's spreading all over the world through fear, we spread our faith through love. And then there's the Jewish religion. They're just trying to exist. They're trying to keep their nation intact. They're not trying to get other people to become Jewish. But the other two great religions, one of them says, were you going to be of our faith or are you going to die? We're going to kill you. And then the Christian religion, we want you, is our message to the world, to the unbeliever. We want you to be a Christian too. Look at our love. And the people of the other religion are flocking to this star that where the Christianity has prevailed. They're flocking there because there's love there. Amen. How many appreciate our position in this world today as Christians? The love of God poured out in our hearts. Let me read a couple more scriptures. I've got five scriptures. I already read one for you. 1 John 4:7. We're going to talk about this love of God that's poured in our hearts. So important and so neglected. 1 John 4:7-8. It's probably going to pop up on the screen for you any minute. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, are you with me? Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Praise him this morning. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a whole chapter in the Bible devoted to the topic of love. It says if you don't love, you're just a clanging brass and just making a lot of noise. You're just religious if you don't have love. 1 Corinthians, we'll read the last two verses, 1 Corinthians 13, 12 and 13. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then one day we're going to see God face to face. Now I know in part all those spiritual things, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abides faith, hope, and love. And which is the greater? The greatest of these is love. I asked the Lord one time, I said, God, I see where you're commanding us to love. And I see that that's what you expect of us, to love one another and to be known and to excel in love. But why don't I see that much difference between the church people and the worldly people? I don't live here anymore. I live over there for 16 years. But I think Christians are pretty much Christians worldwide right now. And I see sometimes people that are lost, don't have a notion about the gospel, the plan of salvation, and they are very loving people, generous people. I define love is expressed through giving. When you give, that's love. Because God so loved the world that he... And these are, I know many people don't have a notion about the plan of salvation, haven't made a commitment to Jesus, and they are loving and generous people. I know Christians that are all bound up. God, I asked him, why don't we excel in love? And we're going to read a scripture now, Romans chapter 5, verse, starting with verse 1. And God told me, plain as day, three things. Why the love doesn't flow as it should. And if you're listening to me today, I hope the Holy Spirit is praising you because you demonstrate his love constantly, continuous, and it's your trademark. And it's what distinguishes you among everybody you work with, you study with, in your household. You excel in love. The Holy Spirit will pat you on the back right now. But if you could love more than what you're doing, and if you're not known as that person full of the love of God, hope the Holy Spirit now will say, listen to Brian. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. I ask God, why don't we love as we should? Why don't husbands love their wives as they should, Christian husbands? Why don't the wives love their husbands? Why don't brothers and sisters in households love as they should? Why on the workplace we not all the time have a reputation of being loving and kind? And I'm going to give you the answer I got. In Romans 5, 1 through 5, it'll mention three words: faith, hope, and love. Right here in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, faith, hope, and love. And they're important, all three of them. But the greatest is love. And the objective is love. But there's faith, hope, and love. We're going to read five verses. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Faith is our stance. Faith is our conviction. Faith is the present. We are justified. We stand firm in faith. You come into the things of God. You enter in by faith. We believe, and then God counts our faith as righteousness. Say it with me. I stand by faith. Nothing moves me from my stance. Nothing moves me from my faith. I know God's word. I'm convinced, and I stand firm in faith. But after that, let's keep reading. And rejoice in hope.
of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Huh? You rejoice in tribulations? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. So, it's important that we stand firm in faith, but it's important also that we develop our hope. And I've heard a lot of teaching over the years about faith. I think a whole decade or more, the faith movement, the faith teaching, building up Christians in their faith. And here we are, standing firm, believing God. But I haven't heard much talk about hope. I haven't been taught the importance of hope. I haven't. I might have missed something. I've been gone for 16 years. There might have been a movement of hope. And I hope we're going to begin a movement of love now. Amen. But it's important to develop hope. And that's what I want to talk to you today. Because God, when I ask God, why don't we Christians love as we should? And he told me it's got to do with the level of hope, the amount of hope that a person possesses. Finish reading verse 5. And now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Lord, you say you pour out your Holy Spirit on us. It's being poured out. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, God's pouring out love in your heart. The love of God has been shed abroad, has been poured out in our hearts. I need to make a illustration here, and I need some help. I want to ask for a volunteer. I'm going to give away some money. And I want to know if there's anybody here that's 14 years old. Anybody here 14 years old? 15? Was there a 14-year-old? Okay, would you come and help me illustrate a point? Give her a hand. Hallelujah. You and I are going to work together for a little bit. You're going to help me teach a point, okay? And how old are you? 14. Are you employed? Good, good. I wanted to pick a person I didn't think would have a lot of money on them, because that's the point here. Okay, what's your name?
Sarah.
Sarah, thanks for coming up and helping. Okay, you and I are a team, all right? Now, I'm asking God. God, if you're pouring out your love in our hearts, you know, why don't we share more love? You know what? God gave us a command, and God gives us provision for that command. All right. I want to bless somebody else here with some money today, but you're going to be my instrument. You're gonna help me out, because I'm going to stay up here. I'm not going to go down the steps. That light shine, I'm going to trip. I hope you don't trip going down either. But I want to bless somebody. I want to give them $10. Let's see. I can see through there. Do you see that lady right there? On the third from the last row. Some empty chairs, and there she is, I think, with a black and white shirt on. You see her? Okay. Go give her $10. Do you have $10? Huh?
No, I do.
Well, you better not leave yet. You better come back up here. You come on, step back up here. Yeah, you took off pretty quick there. You took off pretty quick. Now, I'm making a point. Are you following me? God commands you to love. And many times we don't feel the love. Many times we're not showing the love, but God is constantly, always pouring out love on us. So I ask God, why don't we love? And he says three reasons. Number one, they don't spend any time with me for that outpouring to occur. My son Paul brought a song today. There's chaos all around. We need to take time and breathe. That's number one. If you are not demonstrating and excelling and getting a reputation to be a loving and kind person, a giving person, because God is love and God gives and you receive, and other people should get from you what you give, and they should be receivers because you love. Amen? And so God's not sending us out to do something that He's not equipping us to do. He's pouring out His love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. How many of you have the Holy Spirit? When you accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit came in you, and there's a channel where God can pour out in your heart lots and lots of love. But why don't the other people, why aren't we making a name for ourselves in that area? Number one, He said they're not getting it because they're not taking any time with me. They're just all in the chaos all the time. Number two, the Bible says in Matthew that a sign of the last days will be that sin will abound. Lawlessness will abound. Matthew 24. In the last days, sin will abound and the love of many will grow cold. Sin. Everybody say sin. Sin cuts the love flow. Sin cuts, you look at sin around you and fear comes in your heart. If you're always listening to CNN and Fox News, and I listen too much too, I'm not judging anybody. It's just spreading fear. And because sin abounds, all that bad news, fear gets in you. And because sin abounds, the love of many grows cold. We're walking around. How many of you pulled up in a parking lot or somewhere one time and actually looked around to make sure nobody was ready to attack you? Huh? How many of you, when you come out of the bank, you get your paycheck or whatever, and you walk into the car, but first you scan? Huh? So, and you know, you're not looking who to witness to. You're looking to get in that car and lock the door, right? So, because sin abounds, the love of many grows cold. And the last reason the Lord told me, are you ready to go give her $10? Then I want you to come back up. We're not done yet. Okay. God gives. God so loved the world that He gave. And this is something we can give and everybody likes, right? Okay. Take that. Don't go yet. I want to talk to you. I gave you that $10, right? Mm-hmm. It's in your hands. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And what would you, if you had $10, what would you do with it today? No clue. How much does it cost to eat at the buffet? Anybody know? How much does it cost to eat at the buffet? You could go and eat at the buffet. All you can eat. All you can eat. Just go back three times. Plate after plate after plate. With that $10. So I'm going to let you go, but you're going to come back, right? Or are you going to take that $10 and run? Many times we as Christians, because God is pouring out His love on our hearts, but we don't deliver that love. Sometimes because of sin. Because you know, when you sin, you wound yourself. And you say, God, I know you don't love me anymore. And here it comes. Yes, I love you. Here's the love of God. And we're just sucking it all in. Because sin puts big holes in us. Because sin makes us where we need all of that love that God's pouring out lavishly upon us. We need it. Because we know that we've sinned. We know that we're dirty. We know that we've separated ourselves from God. And we need that reassurance. Who goes out and loves all the world feeling condemnation? So when sin causes us to absorb and to need and be dependent on more and more love. But when you don't have when your need is satisfied, the outpouring begins to overflow. Say with me, sin makes a hole in me. And you just need more and more and more until it coagulates, that love coagulates, and then it starts filling up again. Because God, say with me, God is pouring out His love on me by the Holy Spirit. Now, If she had a big need, she would take that $10 and leave right now, right? Probably. If she really wanted to go to the buffet, didn't have $10, and somebody says, you know, you can go to the buffet with me, but you got to pay, and she had $10, she might not go and give it to the person it was intended for. But you're gonna be strong now. Let me see that $10. Pick it up. Open it up. Look at the front and the back. Smell it. Smell it. Smell it. Okay. But you're going to have to let it go, okay? You've got to. Why did I give it to you? I know you have needs. And I want you to go and give it to her, okay? Go ahead. And then come back. Everybody watching. Why doesn't love flow? Okay. Are you blessed, sister? You know I love you, right? Okay. Come on back up here. One more thing. Because I did it backwards. Because I knew if you had $10, then you would go and give her your $10. But I've given you also. That love is shed abroad on your heart and overflowing on your foot so that you will give it to others, okay? Give me a hand. Give a hand for her. Thank you. I've done that illustration. This is the fourth time, and I regret that every time I'm giving less and less. God gave me that. He said, this is what I want you to do. And I say, yes, sir. And so I've got to go and get another message, because if I keep preaching this message. But you're blessed, right, sister? You're blessed? You're blessed? Give her another hand. You're blessed. God loves you. That's a symbol this morning of God's love. So I want to talk the rest of my time here about hope. About hope, because when you don't have your hope, when your level of hope, number three, why that love is not being given to out as it should be and is staying in us, we're not giving out, we're not being generous, we're not being kind, we're not being loving, we're not being forgiving, but we know we're connected to God because we have a low level of hope. Low level of hope. Now, if my sister here had a low level of hope, and she said, this $10, I've got to hold on to it. Because if I give it away, I'm going to go lacking. If I give it away, something bad's going to happen. I'm going to regret having done that. So I better hold on to it. Because I have a negative outlook for the future. But if she's a person, and if I'm a person, if you're a person full of hope, we have a joyous expectation of the future. Faith is now. Hope is how we see tomorrow. Hope is how we see later on today, tomorrow. And hope is how we see our eternity. And if you don't dwell much on the future and develop a strong hope, your generosity, your love, is not going to work to its potential. Even though God's pouring out on you, you're consuming it all because you don't think things are going to go well for you in the future. But when you know your future's taken care of, when you know whose hands you are in, when you know that tomorrow's going to be good because you serve the man that controls everything and you're his son or you're his daughter and he's got you in the palm of his hand and your future is guaranteed and it's bright. God's going to provide. God's going to be with you as we sang all day. Then you won't hold on to all that. You say, hey, there's plenty more coming tomorrow. I'll have plenty more. Next year's going to be better. A joyous expectation of the future. Otherwise, you're going to say, I need to hold this because tomorrow I may run out. You know, I see hope in my dogs. Whenever I come out of the house, the dog has a hope device on it, and it's his tail. It goes up in the air, and when my dogs see me, oh, it's time to eat. Oh, goody, 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 goody. And that tail starts a wagging. You know, and sometimes we look around at Christians and all, we don't know if they have a joyous expectation or not, because we're like this. Where's the joyous expectation of your future? You know, but the dog, hey, something's good about to happen. Something good. Here comes Brian. Here comes Brian. Here comes Brian. Don't you wish that humans had a tail that would wag? This, I apologize in Spanish, but this is a new device that's come out, because a lot of times... This is an actual device. It detects your emotions. It'll detect your pulse rate and brain waves. And when you are happy, it's not on the market yet. Now look at this guy. He told him something. What did he tell him? But whatever he told him had a happy effect on him. So she smelled something, and it created a euphoria in her, and her tail started wagging. And my dogs, man, they know I'm coming. Okay, here comes Brian. He's going to play with us. He's going to get the frisbee. He's going to get the ball. Or it's time to eat. Or he's going to walk me. Or he's going to scratch my ears. And that tail just to go when they see me. I can see hope in that. The Bible says in Romans 5:5, hope does not disappoint. Now, you've got to believe that. God's not going to disappoint you. Go ahead and give. Go ahead and be generous. Go ahead and forgive. You won't be ashamed. When they slap you on this cheek, give them the other cheek. You're not going to be ashamed. God's not going to let you be disappointed or ashamed. Because hope does not disappoint. My last verse, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. We have to develop hope. And the only way that you're going to work on your hope and exercise hope is when you think about the future. If you're just dwelling in the chaos of today, you're not thinking about the future. You have to think about your future. You have to meditate on it a little bit. You have to get a clear picture of your future, and then the corners of your mouth are going to go up. And then when things happen to you, this is just temporal. This is just for the moment, because I know I have a better thing coming in the future. And I know my eternal position, my eternal circumstance, my eternal condition, it's going to be wonderful. I'm not worried about it. You know, rob me. You're not going to take my hope away. Because I know that with the treasures I have in heaven, the moth can't eat it, it doesn't corrupt, and the thieves can't steal it. My treasure's in heaven. If we'll think about the future, and God has filled up the Bible with promises to build up our hope. There's promises that we need today, and that's our faith. But there's all this he talks about the future that you're never going to see until you get there. Some of them you're never going to see. We see now through a glass, darkly, dimly, fuzzy. And I want to talk a little bit about what's on the other side of that glass in eternity when you and I get there. How many of you going into eternity? All of us. How many of you going into eternity with Jesus? Oh, you can't even comprehend the things that he has prepared for those that love him. Oh, we can't even imagine fully the things that he has prepared for us. I'm going, he said, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. But when you come, I'm going to prepare a place for you. We can't imagine. We can't imagine fully. It's still dimly we see. But one day, brother, sister, count on it. We're going to be face to face, and we're not going to be disappointed. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5 and 7. My future is bright. Your future is bright. The world can go to hell. My pastor's Carl Morris. The world can go to hell, but my future is bright. Revelations 21, verse 5 and 7. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." What you've got around you is not the new thing, but God's going to make everything new. All things new. There's some people that are walking around today in old bodies. You're walking around in that old body. Just look at you. But keep your hope where it ought to be, because it's just temporary. He's going to make all things new. Don't let it get you down. There's one verse that says that Paul says our body is being wasted. It's being worn. We're walking around in worn bodies. We got some scars. We got some injuries. We got some things that just don't go away. Hey, but don't let it minimize. Don't let it reduce your capacity to love, because you're going to get a new body. And you're going to live with that new body forever. It's called a glorified body. It's a body that Jesus demonstrated, the first model. Jesus demonstrated it, walked through the walls, but he could still eat and still enjoy food. And then all of a sudden he was standing there and said, "Well, buddy, boys, I got to go." And he just started floating up. All right? How many of you are ready for that body? Okay. It's coming. He's going to make all things new, and you're going to get one of those bodies, a glorified body. Say it with me. I'm going to get a glorified body. That's my hope. And God's not going to disappoint you when you, whop, when you get that new body, you know, shoot at me, throw a hand grenade, explode it at my feet. I got a glorified body. Revelations 21, 5 and 7. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him thirst." Eternal life. No more aging. You know, things are going to be so wonderful. I'm going to build a wall. No, things are going to be so great. Things are going to be so great on the other side. Let me tell you about the Cuban Revolution. Fidel Castro was fighting against the Bautista in the small island of Cuba. And Ernesto Guevara, Che Guevara, came from Argentina because he was a communist. And he came to help Fidel Castro. He entered into his cause and fought a fight alongside Fidel Castro. They overthrew the dictator, established a new regime on the island of Cuba. And because Che Guevara had fought a good fight beside Fidel Castro, Fidel gave him the best house on the island. Fidel gave him the best car that there was. Fidel Castro gave him a silver pistol. And Fidel Castro gave him a young, pretty Cuban wife. They brought the other wife, the Argentinian wife, all over to Cuba, divorced, and sent her back to Argentina, and gave him a beautiful, young Cuban wife. Why was he so blessed? Because he fought alongside Fidel Castro. And when there's a change of regime, that happened in Nicaragua too, when the Sandinistas took over, All the people that were behind the other regime, they were gone, fled, killed. and all those houses. And so the ones that have been loyal and faithful in the fight got new houses, the best cars. They called it the piñata. How many of you played piñata? Well, when Somoza and them left, everything was up for grabs. And all the ones that were faithful got land and houses and the cars and all that wealth. And they are the people now that are up on the ladder in Nicaragua. And we in this world, we are going to love like nobody else. And we are going to demonstrate God's love because it flows out of us and not only in us. And we're going to fight the good fight of faith. And when everything is made new, we're going to be on top. We're going to get that beautiful mansion that Jesus prepared for us. We're going to see brothers and sisters and family members that we haven't seen for a while because they've already gone on to receive their reward. Say with me, God rewards. I'm in this because of the reward. I'm fighting to the best of my ability, the fight of faith, and I'm demonstrating the love of God, and you are too, because of a hope reserved for us in the heavens. And it's going to be wonderful. We're going to have it. All things will be made new, and He will give to us freely. I'm going to close with this. In my neighborhood, there's some horse stables. My neighborhood where I live is known for horse stables. All the fine horses of Nicaragua, in Managua, they put them in these stables and they train them to walk for parades, prancing horses for parades. And the rich people in the military, generals and all, have their horses, $25,000, $40,000 horses, Arabian, Spanish horses. And there's one guy that was vice president, I think, at one time. And he comes by my house and his white horse. He's on that white horse and he's got a big white cowboy hat and his horse is prancing. And he comes by my house and I'm out there cutting my bushes and watch. And I wave at Don Francisco. Adios, Don Francisco. And Don Francisco. But when he's out of earshot, I say, that's okay, Don Francisco. One day, Revelation chapter 19 says, Jesus is coming back. And the saints are with him. And they are mounted on white horses. Brother, my horse is going to be better than yours. My horse is going to fly. You're going to find something that excites you most about eternity. And if you don't have anything today that excites you about eternity, you need to get something. And the Word of God is chock full of how it's going to be. And you need to get a hold. You need to grab your... My favorite thing is after I'm going to see face to face my Lord. And out of His eyes, I'm going to... That love coming out of Him. His eyes are as a flaming fire. And I'm going to be with Him. And I'm going to be with Him with that troop coming from heaven on those white horses. Number one, I'm going to be with Him. I've experienced His love. I know He's real. I know His blood has washed me from my sins. I know He has risen from the dead. I know He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I'm going to be with Him. And I'm going to see people that I've loved and known, and I'm going to get a white horse. Other people, something else might excite you. How many of you like to have big stuffed animals? You know, a lot of people, we like a big lion or a bear, a big teddy bear. We always pick these animals, the stuffed animals that are dangerous. Have you thought about it? Why is mankind so attracted to caressing and to cuddle up with this fierce, dangerous, man-killing animal? Because the Bible says one day the lion will lay down with the lamb. The little boy will be able to touch the poisonous snake. And one day, that bear, well, he's going to be cuttable. You're going to be able to feel his soft fur. And those long claws and those teeth, they're not going to be intimidating you, because that bear eats grass. And that lion eats grass. And one day, I'm going to have some big, big animals that I'm going to be stroking. This is my lion. This is my bear. This is my, in this life, it's a stuffed animal, but in that life, it's the real thing. Amen? Give the Lord a hand this morning. Something about your future has to turn you on, excite you, motivate you. Keep it in memory. Keep it before you that we have a blessed hope. And then when those moments, those bouts of stinginess, those bouts of me, when God's pouring out his love on you, satisfying your need for his love and giving you an abundance for you to love others, the love will flow freely, because you know tomorrow there's going to be more of it. Let's stand on our feet. Say with me, my future is good. God is with me. Let me pray for this church. Let me pray for you. Some of you came in here, you haven't thought about your eternity in a long time. You haven't thought about God's plans for you for the future. And you need to keep that close. And that will help you be the person you need to be. Because if all we have is this life, there's no motivation that to serve and to excel and to go beyond the call of duty. But when you know that you're going to be rewarded, maybe not in this life, but in the next life, you will get the correct reward for what you've given. And those of us that have wasted our Christian life here on the earth, we're going to be blessed. But those who have fought the good fight, they're going to get the best. And you look into our future. Look into the promises of God when all things become new. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. And I thank you this morning that hope has been revived in us, that we can feel for the future positive, joyous expectation. God, you are creating a glorious church. And the glory of the latter church will be greater than the former. Good things are coming, Lord. We are your representation here in the earth. You take care of us. You provide for us. And Father, we have a great, admirable, beyond comprehension, Lord, of great things that are happening in our future, eternity with you. Help us, Lord, to be channels of your love. Help it to flow freely. Help us not, Lord, to check. Whenever that love is poured into us, help us not to check it and to consume it ourselves, but to let it flow. Persons that we've been angry at, Lord, oh, that your love would flow out of us, that we can forgive and hug and renew that relationship. Persons that have hurt us, Father, wrongs that we have done, that your love would be so great that we would humble ourselves and make that relationship right. God, say with me, God, change my image to kindness, forgiveness, love. I'm full of faith. I'm full of hope. I'm full of love. And the greatest of these three is amen. Pastor Carl.
Have you enjoyed Brian Hudson this morning? Remain standing, if you will. Can I have an usher? This is a good one. Escort Brian and Millie. Paul, you can go with them if you want to the foyer. So everybody here on your way out, if you would like to do so, you can just shake their hands, give them a hug, and bless them as they go back to their nation. Brian and Millie, I'll see you at the airport, if not before. What a wonderful word. Everybody leaves here today with more than enough of the love of God than you need. So there's so much to give away now more than ever. And everybody leaves here today with an increased hope, a joyful expectation for our furniture, our future. I feel like the Lord's going to bless me with a piece of furniture. It's been good to be in church with you this morning. Have a great week and be here for the Wednesday night fellowship meal. God bless you as you go.